Welcome to Spill Radio. This program is being recorded on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I am Tatiana Melama, hosting this program on behalf of the Morris and Helen Belkin Art Gallery at the University of British Columbia. Spill Radio is presented in collaboration with CITR 101.9 FM, with sound production and editing by Joshua Stevenson. Today's episode will include an interview by Orr Gallery's director-curator Denise Reiner with Guadalupe Martinez. Martinez is an artist, researcher, and educator whose practice explores the poetic and political relationship between the body, memory, and place. As part of the Spill exhibition, Martinez has curated Spill Response, a live research and performance component that brings together artists, activists, and educators to consider the relationships between the body, the land, and forms of pedagogy that engage with healing, love, and sustainability as collaborative methodologies. Visiting artists will present talks, workshops, and performances from October 16th to the 23rd, extending their activities from the gallery to local sites such as the UBC Farm, the Fraser River, and sites of protest. Spill Radio will present recordings from Spill Response towards the end of the radio podcast series. Alongside the conversation between Reiner and Martinez, we will play performance exercises by the collective Cuerpo. Cuerpo is led by Martinez and includes a fluid group of young artists and guest mentors whose ongoing research process places the body at the center of knowing and inquires how it may exist within the very function of art production and art education.
Guadalupe, I will get right into it with Cuerpo because this is kind of the main project you're working with today as part of this podcast. So what are the ideas and influences behind the formation of Cuerpo? And what is the role of collective performance and production in your work?
Well, Cuerpo is a project that started over a year ago. Part of my research in performance art has been intertwined with pedagogical practices, mostly influenced by certain Latin American artists and philosophers. And after my master's at UBC, this relationship between performance and academia became really prominent in my research. And a big part of it has to do with kind of how to develop a feminist approach to education and intervention in academia and in art production that stems from embodiment, kind of trying to dissolve the hierarchy between academic learning and embodied learning, and also bringing into this affective approach a sense of care and intimacy in the relationships that are built through the process of learning and making art. So Cuerpo came about after I taught my first performance art course at UBC and with some students with whom we kind of like really connected, and they had expressed that they wanted to continue their research in performance art, but there wasn't really like a space within the university to do it in a certain way. I came up with this, materializing this desire of having a space where I could collaborate with students and explore ways of learning that in a way weren't limited or restricted by some of the politics of academia. So kind of dissolving this idea of hierarchy between the professor and the students and trying to establish more of like a mentoring relationship, and also not having always like the credits and examinations, exams, all of that kind of stuff, as well as all the protocols and the authority that the classroom in the university imposes over the work. So that was kind of like how Cuerpo came about. And we started with doing just like open sessions, meeting every week, every 2 weeks, and so on, just exploring different movement practices and somatic practices, really to go into the body, and then exploring how that can translate into different kinds of art production for performance or other practices. And then from there, we kind of started to have opportunities to show work together. So we showed first at Fuse when it was created by Pablo Ocampo for the exhibition with Dana Claxton. And then the second time we performed together was when you invited me to work with Art Gallery and we did the public presentation.
So scan your body from the sole of your feet and all your back space and points of contact all the way to the skull, and kind of take note of what parts of your body are touching the floor and what parts aren't, and let your weight sink into the floor at the same time, feeling the support through those spaces that are in touch with the floor.
It's interesting how you link the idea of embodiment to a non-hierarchical way of learning and knowing. And you mentioned space, but I know this is more of a conceptual and learning space. But you also, especially in this project that you're going to be doing with Spill, linking embodiment to concepts of place and land. And would you like to talk more about that connection?
I think that someone that really influenced my thinking in the relationship between performance and place is Luis Kamnitzer, who has this book, Didactics for Liberation, Conceptual Art in Latin America. And it's not that he influenced me directly, but kind of like he provided a framework to understand how I was influenced by certain Latin American artists and my own education in Argentina. And he kind of distinguishes how conceptual art developed in the US versus how it developed in Latin America due to certain social and political contexts. And conceptual art was directly tied with social intervention and activism and political intervention. And so when I read this, I kind of understand that in a way, this is how I understand performance art in many ways and how embodiment for me is a requirement to be present in space in any way, but specifically in a political way. This idea of occupying space and how do you occupy it and in which ways you are performing and conforming or non-conforming to the invisible expectations of public space and political space as well. And then moving to Vancouver, I saw that there was a very strong relationship between this kind of like performative practice with land politics. And I also found a lot of mirroring between certain Latin American practices and certain practices by local artists working in performance and also specifically indigenous artists working in performance and how that connection between the body and the land and art activism is very tied together.
And you're going to explore shaking. You can lift a little bit.
You've also worked with the idea or the concept of no place or non-place. And this, you know, links to ideas of embodiment and certain spaces in modern, you know, the modern era. Did you want to talk about more about your perspective on that and why it comes up in your work?
Yeah, I wasn't actually thinking of this concept so much before Cuerpo. But this is something that came up actually in conversations with the students slash participants, where when we were thinking of intervening space and doing research about certain spaces in the city, we noticed that the way certain spaces are defined or non-defined kind of allow for certain kinds of development by the city. For instance, this particular square, Cathedral Square, where we did our performance, in the research that we did about the space, we noticed that there was kind of like a lack of defining and a lack of sense of completion in how the development of that place was approached. And we kind of got this idea that it was actually a non-place, as if, as a signifier, it's actually vacant. It's kind of like a place that then is open continually to be developed. For me, what became really obvious in a way is that if you place a body in any place and that body is fully embodied, there's no space for no place. Like where there's a body, a certain kind of embodiment that's active and that's engaged in particular ways, that space becomes a place or has to become a place. It's kind of called for some kind of recognition and acknowledgement. And so we started thinking of that as one of our political gestures through cuerpo. So kind of like establishing a particular relationship of presence with place, acknowledging the history, acknowledging how it's defined, and then considering how are we occupying it.
I mean, it was noticeable in the weeks leading up to your performance there and when you were rehearsing, and just in the comments made by members of Cuerpo and yourself, that that is quite a contested space. The city's been, you know, trying to activate it with pianos and seating and surveys. And there are always bodies in that space, except for the city doesn't view all bodies the same.
Exactly.
And it seemed that that was something that you were trying to work with, like this idea of occupying space bodily. And do you want to talk more about that? Like how you kind of engage these politics as you found yourself in the square and interacting with people, with others who maybe were not as officially welcome. Maybe you yourself felt that maybe your group was not welcome as artists. I'm curious, how that aspect developed throughout your rehearsals and performance.
The days leading up to the performance, we kind of like walked and performed in different sites, some being, I don't know, like the square that's actually outside of BC Hydro, which is a private space, and it's like very well taken care of, and it's has lots of surveillance and security and so on. And it's very cosmetic, and it has a very different, quote unquote, culture, as well as bodies that in having that space and then moving into other kinds of public space, it felt very different. We didn't want to be intrusive to the space because there are persons that actually spend a lot of time in that square. Some people were living in that square, and it was a very considered process to learn how we could be in that space. So, we went there for perhaps like 4 days leading up to the performance and without a particular strategy in terms of how to engage. But it ended up happening that we kind of like developed a certain level of relationship with some of the persons that were living in the square and kind of like collaborated in ways, not to romanticize this, but just like in very small practical ways where we had to interact. And in a way, some people kind of became part of the performance kind of spontaneously in different moments. Yeah, I guess that the most important consideration is that we develop the work site specifically, and there's like a layer of engagement that has to do with like the architecture and sort of like the history of the place. But then for me, that never has to be privileged over the reality of the people who are in the space. And so that's kind of like what determined our ethics in how we were occupying the space.
All of the work you're doing around pedagogy and learning is really interesting, and I look forward to seeing how that develops with Cuerpo. But coming up next, you're working with Spill Response. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. So Spill Response is part of Spill Exhibition, and when we started thinking about this project with Lorna, I was wanting to think of ways of including performative art practices in the exhibition that are not necessarily traditional performance art that happens kind of like in a more staged manner, but performative practices that kind of intersect activism and pedagogy. And so I thought of four artists that I have been working them, most of them in the past. I thought of developing some kind of program where these artists would engage with students or emerging artists, giving them workshops that stem from their practice, and that we would create it's a one-week research lab. We've been struggling with what to call it because one of the main intentions in this program is that it's not seen as a separate element of the exhibition, but rather that is including these kinds of practices in the larger umbrella of what the exhibition brings forth, but that it also extends the space of the gallery into public space and into other kinds of practices that in a way are not so easy to define and that they're not so easily conforming with the standards or the of the art museum or art exhibition, and that they kind of blur the lines of what an art practice is. So in that way, that's why it has kind of been a challenge to define or give it a place. But in a way, for me, conceptually, it's very clear where they belong. And that is why I'm interested in these artists, is because they really extend what an art practice means from an art production, art exhibition space into public space, politics, healing practices, ritual practices, learning practices that are very rooted in community and in the land. And so what the program will be is, as I said, a series of workshops that each of us are going to give to a group of students. And then the students are going to have an opportunity to develop some kind of performative work of their own that is going to be shown at the gallery space after the workshops. So another element of spill response that's important, aside from the workshop with the students, is the intention to create a space of research with the other artists for us to share our knowledge, share our ideas, share our work, and also spend some time together getting to know each other and developing sort of knowledge that doesn't have the expectation of being shown or formalized in the gallery or being published or anything like that, but that is just another way of valuing that time together and that learning that we're doing together. So yeah, so that was also very important to me, to kind of like constitute other ways of developing knowledge that are not tied to certain kinds of hierarchies.
Mm-hmm. And another example of this kind of placemaking, like we did the square, like, I mean, the galleries are not usually considered by most visitors, even those that work in them, like very welcoming or demystified spaces. But then when you have a group of students and just these interactions that happen without expectation, without the need to present something, then
yeah.
Or you can tell me after, but are you, yeah, if you're able to like make a comfortable space and create something that's just for those that are involved at the moment, that they're involved.
Yeah, so in developing the project Spill Response, we also considered what places to include. So there's some of the workshops and some of the gatherings that are going to happen in the gallery. And as you said, like audience might walk in and encounter this kind of like relationality happening spontaneously in the gallery. But there's also some gatherings that are going to happen at off-site locations, potentially the UBC farm or by the Fraser River, or we rented a house where some of the artists are going to be living, and we hope that that also would be a place for gathering. And so we wanted to bridge the gallery space with these other locations as well, and sort of like extending that research into other sites that are specifically chosen.
Thank you.
You talked about the necessity for you to invoke embodied responses to political relationships and relationships to place. And I'm just wondering if you could also connect this to some of the topics that emerge through the larger Spill project, specifically that of land dispossession and environmental degradation.
One sort of simple but important statement for me is that once the body is in a way erased from place and land, there's quote-unquote permission to do whatever in a way. And I think this is a conceptual and political strategy that is used so often to exploit the land and with it communities. And this is kind of, for me, one of the main reasons why it's important to go back to embodiment as a way of political activism. And it's a particular kind of embodiment for me that in a way is reconsidering the body in new ways, and that's an ongoing process. But also there's an element of healing for me that's very important to do through embodiment. For me, healing has to be a part of this kind of activism. And then one of the artists that I invited is Anne Riley. And I often invite Anne to give workshops to my students when my class at UBC. And so we go out to the farm, to the UBC farm, and she talks to us about her practice and what she's learning and what she's doing in that place. And she makes a fire and we gather around the fire and we talk. And one of the things that she told to the students the first time we got together is that for her, it was really important to develop, paraphrasing her, but this stuck with me, to develop an art practice that was both rooted in love and also that was sustainable. And for me, that was something really important in the understanding of my own practice and these processes, because the question of what does it mean to have a sustainable art practice was a really important question to pose. And not that I'm going to answer it, but just to have it present all the time. What does it mean to have a sustainable art practice? And I think that that kind of bleeds into so many layers of art production. So there's also a sense of responsibility, I think, that comes with that, that in a way it mirrors questions of what does sustainability mean in so other fields. And again, like the not exploiting oneself as an artist, not exploiting others as artists, not being exploited by academia, not being exploited by the art institution, and how to, in a way, propose relationships that are sustainable within the art world. That's kind of like a dialogue that goes back to also sustainability at the level of the land, at the level of activism, if that makes sense.
You have been listening to Spill Radio. Please join us next week for a conversation with the artists Cece Weiss and Anne Riley.